Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. The Spirit Eater. It started happening when I moved into my summer cabin past Green Bay. Little things happened at first. My dogs would bark into the woods, but I would see nothing. I didn't think much of it, just that it could be a deer or maybe a mountain lion. That didn't worry me because I'm a native Youper and have had previous hunting experience. Mostly this would happen and my dogs would growl into the woods, but then seemingly forget all about it and then go romp around the cabin. Then came the night. As I lay in bed, I heard shuffling outside my window. My curtains were closed, but the window itself was open. My breathing hitched as I saw a shadow standing outside my window. Just know that the cabin doesn't have a high ceiling, so the windows are low, so I'm not sure the exact size of this creature. I lay frozen in bed as the shadow stayed there for what seemed like centuries, but could only have been a few minutes. Soon the creature, the shadow, began to shuffle away, but not without first emitting a guttural growl. This happened every night for the next 3 days. It would appear, stay, and then leave. After the third night of this, I woke up and went to check on my two hounds, Eleanor and Chip. I walked around to the back of the cabin, where they slept curled up in their makeshift doghouses. I froze and felt my stomach rise up to my throat when I reached their spot. Blood was spattered everywhere, and body parts lay strewn all over the yard. Eleanor was torn apart next to Chip's quivering body. He thankfully was unharmed, but shocked and in quite a mental state. What monster would do this? I thought despairingly. No bear or mountain lion would dismember a dog like this. I knew what had done this. The creature that stood outside my window every night. The strangest thing, however, wasn't the spattered blood and gore, but the pearly white flap of skin next to my dog's corpse. Good old girl didn't go down without a fight. I picked it up and turned it around in my hands. One side was an almost translucent pearly skin, and on the other side, a light bluish blood. I dropped it immediately and ran back inside. I grabbed my old hunting rifle and my pack, which contained some food, water, and other camping necessities. The nearest highway was due north, about 38 miles, but I wanted out of these woods before nightfall. That's when it comes, during the nighttime. In the daytime, it stays in the woods, always watching, always following. I let Chip loose, and we set due east, where I knew a small town was less than 25 miles away. I could make it, but I would have to haul ass if I didn't want to die. Me and Chip walked for the first half of our journey, and then we ran. We made it to the town right before sunset. If you can even call it a town. There's a gas station, a motel, and a couple of summer cabins by the lake. As we emerged from the woods, I heard the scariest sound of my life. The roar was deafening, and it was pissed off. I knew that this wasn't the end of the game. The son of a bitch was playing, but for me, tonight was enough. I stayed at the motel, where the only residents are the owner, a runaway teen, and me. As far as I know, we could be the only people in this residence, but I'm scared, so scared. I can feel it watching me, waiting, hunting. If I can survive another day, I hope that I can, but for now I can't even fall asleep. The deadbolts on my door will not protect me, I know that. And Chip has started to growl at the door. I have survived yet another night from this beast that roams the woods of the Great Lakes. You might ask yourself why I didn't drive out of where I was at, like the hounds of hell were on my trail. There's one very important detail that I forgot to mention, which was that my friend had dropped me off. I wanted to have a more authentic, rustic experience and to get away from the city. My friend, we'll call him Mark, was supposed to drive up every 2 days to check on me since he had a camp not too far away. Only he never showed. He dropped me off and then he vanished. I knew something must have happened to him because he was the type of guy you could rely on. And I had known him since first grade and he never flaked. Even though his cabin wasn't too far away, I decided not to risk it. I knew something must have happened to him and his wife. As soon as I get some answers from this godforsaken town, I'm going back to look for him. He would have done the same for me. I tried calling him on the phone in the office of the motel I'm staying at, but no answer. Now, all through the night, I heard the growling. At times, it would sound distant, and at others, close. I woke up to find long scratches on my motel door. I wonder why it doesn't just tear it down and come get me. But it wants to play. I think it's because I might have woken it up. I don't know how or when, just that it's awake and coming after me. This morning, the creature left me a surprise. Eleanor's collar. It's a simple band of leather with her name inscribed on it. That fucker's going to pay. I have to get rid of it, even if I don't survive. First it took my dog and then my best friend, but no more. I woke up and walked around the town for a bit, my rifle on my back and chip by my side for protection. It turns out this town used to be larger, but when the stock market crashed, almost everybody left and never came back. Or so the motel owner tells me. He seems strange, though. He's skittish and is always looking off into the woods. The lights outside the motel are always on, and he keeps the doors to all the rooms locked. He's either hiding something or knows what's following me. I think it's both. I know this might sound stupid, but I might try to break into his office. There's something in there that can help me. I know it. Maybe I won't, though. I have the feeling that he could be a dangerous enemy. The kid that's here is most definitely a runaway. She's got cropped black hair, tons of black eyeliner, and lots of gothic black clothing. I wonder why she ran away. I don't think she knows anything. She said she hitched a ride here from a truck driver, and I don't think she's lying. Despite her efforts to look tough, she has a soft voice. She wasn't meant to be like this. Her name is Mason. Thank God she's safe, though. Who knows what could have happened with a truck driver? Yes, yes, I know not all of them are pervs, but come on, you've seen the movies. She's staying in the room next to mine. I'm glad, because I'll be able to keep an eye on her, but I'm also scared for her. I can't imagine if anything happened to her because of me and what I've awoken. My parental skills are kicking in, even though I've never had children. Chip hasn't slept since we got here. He stayed up all night, pacing and growling at the door. I didn't get any sleep last night. I have dark shadows under my eyes because I refuse to fall asleep. I'm pretty sure he can smell the decaying flesh of the beast that is hunting us and had killed Eleanor. I can't bear to watch him suffer. I know that he misses Eleanor. I do. My dogs were the only family I had left. Now it's just Chip and me. My father died when I was a little girl. It was on a hunting trip. They say he must have been attacked by a wild animal because his body was never recovered. I'm starting to think I might be reliving his experience. Right now, Chip and my rifle are my only source of protection. I'm going to look for the source of the fire later. The gas station looks new, but the lights haven't been on and I haven't seen anybody in there. There might be gas and supplies that I can use to kill this motherfucker. That is, before it gets me. I just hope I can save myself and this little girl before it's too late. I still have no idea what woke it up. Could it have been already awake? Maybe I was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. I prayed last night. Why, God? Why me? Why would you let a creature this ferocious and demonic be born? Why let it roam the earth? What have I done to deserve this? Why, God? Why? As I walked around town, I noticed none of the other buildings had scratches. Even Mason didn't hear any growling or had scratches on her door. It's eerie. It's like I'm the only one who can see and hear this beast. Or maybe the others are just pretending. I plan on looking into this town's past. They have to have something to do with this creature. It's impossible that they haven't. I also need to rest, but I'm too afraid to close my eyes. I'm afraid of what will come and slit my throat in my sleep. Or what will devour me, bones and all. I'm slowly being driven insane by the utter madness of this situation. I can't take it anymore. I need this to end, and I'm going to be the one to end it. I don't know how much more of this madness I can take. I thought I had it all figured out. Turns out it's smarter than I think, than anyone thinks or could possibly imagine. What could I possibly have done to wake this beast? Last night was the worst night so far. It finally fed on human flesh. For the last 2 days, I've been trying to figure out how to kill this bastard. Fire. That's the answer. I had a plan. I'd found gasoline matches and even an old couple of sticks of dynamite. How lucky was I? Turns out back in the 1900s, this town was famous for coal mining. There's even a couple of coal mines that weren't closed off. I thought I had it all figured out, So did that son of a bitch. It was nearing dusk yesterday and had everything laid out. It wasn't a super fancy trap or anything, but it would do the deed and kill this demon. At dusk, I was ready and waiting for it to come. I knew it would. It always does. My trap was set right in the outskirts of the woods. I wanted to keep the motel owner and the stowaway kid out of this. I found enough dynamite to make 4 small piles. I placed them in a ring and connected them all with some spare cord that I found. Hopefully this would work. I sat in the middle of the circle and waited, my trusty rifle at my side. I also had multiple knives on me hidden beneath my shirt and in my boots. Soon I heard growling. That seemed to be getting closer and closer. Then it stopped and all was quiet. I don't mean peaceful quiet, I mean dead silence. No birds chirping or squirrels running around in the trees. It's like they knew what was coming and were trying to save themselves. Leaves started to crunch and twigs snapped. The growling resumed, but it sounded like it was coming from all directions. I stood up and braced myself the best I could. Who can prepare you for the moment you must fight a beast descended from the fires of hell itself? Then it emerged from the woods. I cannot describe how horrifying this creature was. I wanted to close my eyes and curl up in a ball until this whole thing was over with. I almost did, but then I stopped myself and decided that I wouldn't let this beast harm any other people. I wasn't trying to play hero. I was trying to save myself. This creature was entombed in decaying yellow skin. Its glowing yellow eyes stared into mine and I felt my bones shake. The wendigo loomed over me, its sharp fangs were leering at me, almost laughing, as if saying, "Ha, what now?" I snapped myself out of my fear-induced stupor and ran to the nearest pile of dynamite. I pulled my pack of matches out and tried to get one lit. My hands were shaking so bad that it took 3 tries. The wendigo slowly stalked towards me on its towering legs. I dropped the match in the pile and waited for fireworks. No such luck. The match sputtered and died as it landed just to the side of the dynamite wick. My heart dropped. I was certainly doomed. I had it all planned out, but the truth was I didn't expect anything to go wrong. I looked around for the pack of matches that had fallen out of my hand when the creature batted me aside with a swipe of its paw. Then there was blackness. When I regained consciousness, I saw the wendigo peering over me. There was a long gash along my left leg. I know it had been made by its monstrous teeth. I groaned and tried to sit up. Soon, I realized that the beast on top of me was snarling and spitting in my face. I found one of the hunting knives I had hidden on me and plunged it as far as it'll go before it crawled away. I looked at the creature and found the hilt sticking from where its stomach would be. Grayish blue blood oozed from the wound. The beast roared in pain. "Hey, what's going on?" The sentence was cut off as the wendigo lunged at Mason, the runaway kid. With a single swipe of its clawed hand, the creature tore into the kid's chest, chunks of flesh ripped away. The look on Mason's face will haunt me forever. It was pure fear and surprise mingled together. Poor kid never saw it coming. I screamed in frustration as I tried to get to the nearest pile of dynamite. I reached it and frantically searched the ground for a match, and felt a minuscule sense of hope as I found one. I striked it against the nearest rock and tossed it into the pile. I stood up on my legs and groaned as I hobbled away. The force of the explosion pushed me to the ground. Despite the dull ringing in my ears, I could hear a blood-curdling shriek. I looked into the flames and I saw the dancing figure of the hell creature. Red and orange engulfed its body as it burnt. I lay down among the ferns and brush that coat the forest floor. I closed my eyes and just drifted off. You must be thinking now that I killed it, that the wendigo is dead. When I came to, I got up and made my way to the burnt patch of land. I looked around for any sign of a corpse, but found none, not even bones. I could have been naive and assumed that the ashes scattered on the ground were from the beast, but I knew better. It probably ran off back to where it came from to nurse its injuries. I know that there's a good possibility that it will come back. Of course, I'll be long gone before that does happen. I have since made it back home. I'm never going back to that cabin. Let it sit there and rot, a reminder of the constant sorrow that can lie in these woods, among the beauty. Let it remind people of nature's dark side. I am thinking of having a memorial made for Mason. And Eleanor. Chip is okay. I'd left him in the motel room before I embarked on the hunt. I couldn't lose him. He's the only family I have left. I'm okay. I will be. At least until it comes again. But this time, I will be ready. The dark side of nature. Arkansas is a natural state for a reason. There's nothing but forests, mountains, and more forests. My favorite place in this entire world was Magazine Mountain, located a very convenient 45-minute drive east of me in the middle of nowhere. I had my first date with my ex-fiancé there. We visited quite often. We split up for the stupidest of reasons. She claimed to not want to, and I still believe it. I visited the mountain that same day, only to find myself back in my hometown emergency room after being found unconscious and dying in a field in a neighboring town. Many months passed by. I found myself spiritually. I ended up in a career path that I wanted. I removed toxic friends, etc. Things were looking up for me. One day I decided to visit a New Age shop. I walked in, and it was as if time had stopped. The shop owner, she's called herself a white witch, spoke to me and gave me an amulet to wear around my neck. Nearly 1 week later, I woke up in a cold sweat suddenly. Something told me to go to Mount Magazine. I checked my work schedule for the week and had 2 days off in a row. I took advantage of it and packed my things for my hike. I wasn't sure what I was looking for, but I couldn't shake the feeling despite the voice in the back of my head telling me not to go. I didn't tell anyone except my mother where I was going, and as soon as I left work, I went home, got my bags, my German Shepherd, and left for the next 2 nights. We got to the mountain. It was a beautiful drive as always, but it seemed to take longer than usual, despite my bad habit of speeding. There was deer everywhere. I nearly hit one about 3 times once we entered the Ozark Forest. About halfway up the mountain, I was brought to a stop because of a huge vulture in the road. I didn't want to hit him, so I stopped, but he just wouldn't budge. It was strange because there was no roadkill in sight. Being a taxidermist, any time I see a vulture, I look for the animal corpse it's feeding on. I can't explain it. It just always interested me. After about 2 minutes of the bird not budging, I decided to move around him, continuing up the mountain. I couldn't shake the uneasy feeling I had once I entered the forest, but I continued. Once I reached the top, I visited several of my favorite spots, and while wandering, I stumbled upon a new area near one of the cliff edges. The sight up on Mount Magazine is something that is unmatched. However, there was nobody in sight, aside from the employee at the lodge. Not only that, but it was silent. No bugs, no birds, not even an echo from my voice. It was extremely unnerving. I headed to the lodge and ate at their restaurant. It was pretty good, but not the best. Once I left the restaurant, I grew extremely drowsy, which was strange because it was only 7 p.m., and I usually stayed up until 1 a.m. I ended up falling asleep on the floor in some day room on the second floor of the lodge. I woke up to my phone going off. My mom was blowing up my phone. What's going on? Text me back right now. You're scaring the shit out of me. I was more pissed than concerned. My mother knew there's very limited service on the mountain, and I called her before I left. I replied angrily. There's no service up here. I'll be home tomorrow evening. I decided to head to my car and sleep in there since I wasn't renting a room. I was homeless for a few weeks, so sleeping in my car wasn't too uncomfortable for me. It was about 9 p.m. when I got to my car. It didn't take too long to fall asleep, but I remembered right before I slipped into unconsciousness that I could hear someone outside my car window screaming. I had a very vivid, terrifying dream, or what I hoped were dreams. I remember one being me standing in the middle of the road on the mountain. There was a spotlight behind me, and there were eyes everywhere, strange creatures watching me stand there. But there was one creature in particular several yards in front of me. It didn't have much of a defined shape, but I compared it to a large deer. Whatever it was surrounded by crows. I've read up on creatures such as the Wendigo, the Skinwalker, etc., but it was nothing like them. It seemed friendly, as if it was trying to show me something. I didn't feel threatened, only frightened because of confusion. The crows did not scare me. Being a Cherokee Native American, I know that my totem animal is a crow. The large creature walked towards me after what felt like an eternity. It reached out towards me, In that instant, there was a bright blue flashing. I opened my eyes, and I was in a different parking lot. There were blue lights flashing in my rearview mirror. "What the fuck?" I said to myself, only to be followed by a tapping on my window. "Ma'am, have you had anything to drink tonight?" It took me a moment to realize what was going on, but I replied as I reached for my information to give it to him. "No, sir, I'm just tired." I didn't know where I was, how I got there, but I had to think fast. It was about 1:15 a.m., and I couldn't let the officer know how confused I was. I couldn't risk anything on myself. Eventually, I learned that I was in a town neighboring my own. I was nearly an hour from where I fell asleep, but still had no clues how I got there. The officer did a sobriety test, searched my car with my permission, then wrote me a citation for driving left of center, and I went on my way. I still have no idea how I got home, what the dream meant, or why I decided to go to the mountain. Honestly, though, that's the least of my concerns. When I woke up the next morning, I logged into Facebook. My bio stated that I was in the military. There were pictures I don't ever remember sharing or even taking. This mountain incident happened last night, but according to my phone calendar, it was 6 weeks ago. I don't know what happened or what to do. 6 weeks have passed within one night, and I keep seeing crows everywhere. I feel like they're trying to tell me something.
Grandmama. Last night my grandmother passed away. She was 79 years old, which I guess is a pretty long time. It's actually 3 years older than the U.S. average, so I guess I can't complain, but still, it sucks. My grandma's death wasn't unexpected. For the past 5 years, she suffered from Alzheimer's. She was always a little ditzy, so at first no one really noticed something was wrong. Then slowly, over time, things became more apparent. Walking into rooms and not remembering why she was there, making the wrong dish for dinner, calling one of my uncles the wrong name, little stuff, but then, pretty soon, it was getting up at midnight and cleaning the house as if it was midday, staring at blank walls for hours on end, unable to make dinner at all, not being able to recall anyone's name. Alzheimer's is a hell of a disease. It eats you from the inside. Feast on the old you, the one everyone knows, the one everyone loves. It hollows you out and leaves something else behind. My grandma was always a very happy person. She loved children. It's probably why she had five of them. And it made her even happier that those five gave her 9 grandchildren. About 2 years after her diagnosis, technically dementia, since Alzheimer's can only be diagnosed post-mortem, she found herself becoming essentially like a child. Giggly, all smiles, nonsense words. It was sad to see her go through that reversion, but at least she was happy. That's what everyone always said. It's sad, but at least she's happy. In her final year, that was no longer the case. She was withdrawn, distant, confrontational. She wouldn't get out of bed. She had to be force-fed. This was all a great strain on my grandfather. While he was only a couple of months younger than her, he was still tough as nails. A retired U.S. Air Force general. He's probably the strongest man I know. And to see him slowly worn down by the woman he loved, whom he had spent 50-plus years with and had 5 children with, that was almost more heartbreaking than the Alzheimer's. Suffice to say, eventually it became too much. My grandmother was put in an assisted living facility that specialized in dementia patients. It was only a 10-minute drive from their home, so my grandfather could visit every day and would often spend nights on the couch in her room. 50-plus years of marriage will do that. I was finishing up my last year at the university. Then, 3 days ago, my mom called me and told me that my grandma's condition had radically worsened. She wouldn't eat. She wouldn't talk. She either slept or laid silently in bed staring off into space. Her doctor had told my grandfather that she was getting close to the end. My mom wanted us to go and see her before it was too late, so I skipped Friday classes and drove up with my mother to say goodbye. I had never visited my grandmother's assisted living facility. From outside, it looked like a quaint yet large one-story home. There was a porch swing out front, a couple of comfy-looking rocking chairs, some nice potted plants, a little garden. It backed up to some tall redwoods and a quiet brook. The only giveaway that this was more than someone's wooded getaway was the large steel gate at the entrance and the 12-foot concrete fence surrounding the whole complex. It betrayed the superficial serenity of its locale. Inside, the staff tried to keep up the homely appearance. An excess of throw pillows and Afghan blankets, arts and crafts hung on the walls, more potted plants. Underneath it, it's as sterile as a hospital. You can smell it. When I arrived, there were a couple of seniors in various states of sleep on a large cushioned couch, facing a moderate television. They were about a quarter into Monsters, Inc. My grandmother's room was a quick walk down a hallway to the right. My mom and I were greeted by my grandfather. He got up from my grandmother's bedside and hugged us both. My grandmother was asleep. She'd eaten one spoonful of applesauce earlier that morning, he said, but other than that, she had just been sleeping. He continued, but I barely heard what he was saying. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. My grandma had always been a full-bodied woman. Not overweight or anything like that, but what I'd call healthy. However, now she was far from it. She was thin and shriveled like a human raisin, taut skin hugging frail bones. Her eyes sunk deep into her skull. I know this is what happens to people when they get to this stage, but it was jarring. It had been no more than a few months since I had last seen her, and she was thinner than usual then. But she wasn't this. My mom and grandpa were still talking, but it was just background noise to me. My eyes were trained on my grandmother. Suddenly, her eyelids popped open. She was looking right at me. That look. I hadn't seen it in years. Recognition. I can't explain it, but in her eyes I could tell she knew who I was. But it was more than that. It was as if she was trying to tell me something. She widened her eyes as far as possible. The pupils shook in concentration. Slowly, a tear welled up and dripped down her cheek. I took a step back and bumped into my grandfather. "Oh, she's awake," he said, and walked towards the bed, gently placing his hand on the brittle stick that was her forearm. "Look who came to visit you, Gina." My mom moved to my grandmother's side as well. She held her hand and spoke to her again. Then it just became noise to me. My grandmother's gaze remained unbroken from mine. Those eyes, pleading. The image is still burned into my retina. It was too much. I left and found my way into the communal living space. I sat down in a squishy lazy boy and watched the end of Monsters, Inc. About 20 minutes later, my mother came out and joined me. My grandma was sleeping again. It was best to let her rest. I don't know when exactly, but sometime between the end of Monsters, Inc. and the start of WALL-E, I fell asleep. When I woke up, it was dark outside. The care facility had those big, bright fluorescent lights. I guess it was less necessary to keep up the homely facade at night. After adjusting to the bright white lights, I noticed that my mom was gone. Sitting on the couch across from me was an old man, clean-shaven, dressed dapper, his thin silver hair slicked back over his skull. He was smiling at me. "Sleep well?" he asked. "Sorry, didn't mean to fall asleep. That's just how it goes around here. You either sleep, wake up, forget what you're doing, and fall back asleep, or you go to sleep, and you just never wake up." I thought that was a rather morbid thing to say, but I suppose it was the truth. I didn't know what to say, so I just smiled at him. "How's Jimmy doing?" "He's still playing ball?" asked the old man. "Sorry, I don't know Jimmy. He was always a fine ball player. I remember when you two used to play out in the backyard. Broke Mr. Wilson's window damn near 3 times. "Oh, yeah, I remembered that. This was a home for dementia patients." It was better just to vaguely go along with it. "Tell him hello for me when you see him," said the old man, sinking back into his chair and turning his gaze to the television. "You'll see him soon enough. Soon enough." "Yeah," I knew it was harmless, but the way he repeated "soon enough" just got to me. He said it without a doubt, like it was an inevitable fact. I tried to watch TV, but couldn't get my eyes to focus right on the screen. Suddenly there was a yell, a guttural howl that reverberated down the hallway. I instinctively stood up. "Say, there he is now," said the old man with a little grin. I quickly made my way from my grandmother's room. As I entered the threshold, I saw her. She was standing in the corner, arms lashing out wildly as my grandfather and a couple of nurses tried to subdue her. That primal scream was somehow coming from her mouth. She saw me enter and once again turned those deep-set eyes on me. Her pupils were small, contracted dots in a sea of bulging white. The nurses took this moment of distraction to grab her. She let out a long howl as they shoved her into a wheelchair and strapped her arms to her sides and buckled her legs to the chair. They hurriedly tried to rush her out of the room, but I was stuck immobilized in the doorway. The nurses yelled at me to move, but my eyes were locked on my grandmother's. Suddenly she spoke. I remember. My grandfather pulled me aside and the nurses began to wheel her out of the room and down the hall towards the back of the facility. I pulled out of my grandfather's grasp and stepped into the hallway. My grandmother was shouting as she went. She craned her neck back in my direction. I remember. I remember it all. You're the ones who don't. You're the ones who forgot. She was taken into a back room. A doctor rushed by me and entered the room she had just gone into. Soon after, he came back and announced that she had passed. Multiple organ failure. Just like that. They say you see things at the point of death. In a swan song, your brain releases some chemicals that can make you hallucinate. Whole life flashing before your eyes. That sort of thing. Some people think this explains how people say they can see heaven right before they die. Simple chemistry. Explainable hallucinations. I don't really know what happened that moment before my grandmother died. But I can't just boil it down to science. For the first time in years, my grandmother had remembered. I could see it in her eyes. She knew something that none of us did. Something secret. Something we had forgotten.